Well, a very, very good morning to all you people here for the Count 50 day. Pentecost is here, and so are we. That's as it should be.
And give us the offertory.
That's me. Well, a very, very good morning to all you people here for the Count 50 day. Pentecost is here, and so are we. That's as it should be. Not to bring back any unpleasant memories, but since September 11th, a couple of years ago, the people of the United States have been more than generous donating money to families of the victims. It seems that money just poured in from all areas of our nation and from overseas. Millions were donated, millions for each family. Sadly, though, those that received the millions of dollars complained because they didn't get more. That's just the way human nature is, I guess. And besides that, much of the money would soon be wasted after it's received. It has a way of slipping through the fingers, doesn't it? Even if it's numbered in the millions, the money disappears. After the money is gone, the recipients probably will be in worse shape than they were before. We've seen this happen many times with lotteries and whatever, that a person comes into a large sum of money. Pretty soon, he's broke and destitute just because they don't know how to care for it. Well, if you turn, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians, let's look at chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. But this I say, he who sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. The people that donated to those victims or to the survivors on 9/11, they gave cheerfully. They wanted to help. People throughout the nation wanted to help them. We have that same urge driving us. We want to help. God loves a cheerful giver, and we give cheerfully. And we're happy to do so. Those that gave for the 9/11 problem gave to solve a temporary problem, to put a Band-Aid on the problem, if you will, because it didn't solve anything. It didn't bring about a better situation. But we, on the other hand, not only, as God says here in 2 Corinthians, not only can we give cheerfully, but we have the opportunity of giving cheer. We can give something with our donation that just was not present at the other. We can give an opportunity for individuals throughout this earth to hear, to come to understand the real good news. Many people on this earth don't know there is such a thing as good news because they only read the news in their newspaper. And that's not good. And the cheer that we give, when we give cheerfully and cheerfully bring that message to others, that is not a temporary fix. Brethren, that is eternal. Just think of whatever we may be able to give at this particular time. It's not just for today or tomorrow or for next year. It's for eternity. Each one of us may be responsible for someone, somewhere, for the first time, reading, understanding that there is good news. We have the power to bring that good news. I'd like to read a couple excerpts from church publication. One of them is entitled, Publications Continue to Roll Off the Presses. The total print run for the May-June Good News was 458,774. With this issue, we have switched to a different R.R. Donnelly printing plant. For the last few years, we have printed at their plant in Pontiac, Illinois. This will be our first issue printed at Glasgow, Kentucky. If the name sounds familiar, that's where the Plain Truth was printed in the 1980s, in its heyday. The reason for this change is that we have basically outgrown the Pontiac plant. The Glasgow plant is better suited to our longer print runs. Now, isn't that good news? Because we have longer print runs, we've even had to change the location where we've had our publications printed. We outgrew one plant and had to switch to another. We have various other publications being printed or reprinted right now, including 30,000 copies of the Making Life Work booklet, 10,000 each of lessons 6, 7, and 8 of the Bible study course, and 180,000 copies of the Good News special issue to send to new subscribers and gift copies. Let's just pray that each one of those 180,000 copies goes to someone who takes it seriously, who makes a change in their life, because we, you, other congregations like this throughout the earth made it possible for them to receive and hold in their hand that copy, that introduction copy, that copy that will spur them to receiving it each and every month that it's printed. All these things go together to show the fact that we, in our donations, we give cheer. We not only experience it, we give it. And that's what we're about, bringing about the good news of the world tomorrow. Again, in the United News, on page 9, this is the current issue, page 9 talks about the radio program. The important news behind the headlines is the vital theme of an exciting facet of the work of God today, the Good News radio program, having first debuted in August, on August 12th of 2000, over 50 programs have been recorded at the home office radio studios in Cincinnati. The broadcasts, which cover an extensive array of biblical, current events, and prophetic topics, are expressly designed to convey the sparkling truth of God's Word. That's a neat phrase, isn't it? The sparkling truth of God's Word to willing listeners throughout the United States, Canada, and Mexico. We have a definite and an integral part in seeing to it that sparkling news continues to sparkle and bring light to others around the world. In 1 Timothy, the second chapter, I'd like to read verses 1 through 4. Probably are familiar with this particular passage because it has to do with God's desire that all individuals be saved. And so let's read that. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. All men. Yes, you know, that includes those that we look on right now as enemies. That includes those who have wreaked havoc on our population. It includes those who have nothing more of a desire in their life than to kill us. God wants all saved. And the only way that's going to happen is for them to have their minds changed. And that's what we're about. And he goes on, verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This is a pretty well-known scripture. We need to always be constantly praying for our leaders, for our president, Mr. Bush, for the Prime Minister of England, Mr. Tony Blair, and all of the nation's leaders throughout the earth. Not that they will do what we want. Not that they will help us achieve some national goal, but so that their nations may be in the position that God wants them at the return of His Son. That His will be done. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. How are they going to have the knowledge of the truth if that isn't made available to them? By publications, by the radio broadcast, by your daily life. Each one of us have a responsibility to put forth to our friends, to our neighbors, the fact that there is a way of life that has a bright, bright future. A future that we can all look forward to. So our offerings today will help somebody find that road. They talk about a road map to peace in the Middle East. Well, how about the road to eternal peace? How about the road map to life in the family of God? So we can speed the day when someone first puts his foot on that road and begins that journey. Some of us have been on that journey for years, but we understand that it takes time. And that there is a plan, and God has that plan, and He has it in complete control, and it is on schedule. Today is a part of that. In another publication, we have here the, World News and Prophecy. Again, it's a current issue. The article that begins on the last page and then goes back, I believe it was called A Knock on the Door. Very, very interesting article. But here's one little section, one paragraph. It says, tell it like it is. The staff of the World News and Prophecy has a vital responsibility to tell it like it is. Therefore, we do point out the current human condition of war, strife, greed, pestilence, and envy, such as the last hymn that we sang, a time when war shall end, a time when we won't be rattling the sabers, dropping bombs throughout the night. We're going to tell it like it is. But it is not designed to simply broadcast doom and gloom to a world that is already edgy but to declare victory is at hand by proclaiming the most overwhelming news ever offered. The most overwhelming news that has ever been offered to this earth. The very real return of Jesus Christ with a kingdom of solutions for what ails this earth. What a change that will be. A kingdom of solutions. So we have this opportunity today to speed these projects, to help to bring light and truth to mankind. So when you make out your check, when you put whatever it is in that envelope, remember, you are directly intervening in the life of someone, somewhere, and it is very, very worthwhile.